On today's episode, we have Drew Peters, the amazing Drew Peters with Songstruck DJ. You guys, he is an award-winning turntable DJ music creation brand for engaged couples and event creatives throughout Southern California. And we are so excited that he is here to join us. I don't know if you guys were with us at the Union Podcast Mixer that we did however long ago, but he was our DJ for that event. And we are so excited that he has decided to come join us here on the podcast so we could pick his brain on how to create some pretty epic moments for your wedding day.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
So, today, you guys, Drew is here. Drew, thank you for being here. We are so excited.
I am so excited, too. I'm grateful. Thank you.
Yes, we had the absolute pleasure of meeting this gentleman in person.
And his mustache.
And his mustache at the Union Podcast Mixer a few months back before we were all quarantined to our homes. Thank you for being there for that and coming out to be part of our community. We really love that.
Oh man, it was my pleasure. I had a great time.
Well, we're glad to hear that. And today we're going to pick your brain about how to throw an amazing party. We've all been to a wedding that was a total dud. And Drew, you know how to throw a good party. So what do you think goes wrong when people have a wedding reception that just feels like just total terrible? I hope that noise makes it and the editors don't cut it out.
Yeah, that's a great question. There are so many different elements that go into, I guess, like the overall kind of feel of the wedding from the guest perspective. You know, like they're just there to celebrate with the couple. So I think it's really important to facilitate that in as many ways as possible from the kind of behind the scenes and also from the entertainment standpoint. If it's a dud, you know, it could be because maybe the fact that entertaining the guests wasn't necessarily as big a priority as it was like kind of a spotlight on the couple for the day. So maybe it's just kind of more like a background, you know, thing. But I think guests can, you know, walk away from it. Like, sure, they'll have fun, but maybe they didn't dance as much, or maybe they wanted to kind of leave early. If there's no kind of like leader, so to speak, hosting the wedding, in, you know, like whether it's a wedding planner or in many cases, a DJ and MC kind of running the event and making sure that everything is on time and that we get all of the vendors taken care of from the perspective of like whatever they need to do. Those are just, I think, different elements that can go into what can make it make or break the whole night, as far as like, was it the best night of everybody's lives, or was it just kind of like, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to say, I love that you said being a leader of the reception, like that you need someone in the role to kind of lead everyone through the day. And I don't know that I've ever really thought of that in those words. And I don't know that a lot of couples think of it that way. And I think it's really true and very wise.
Yeah. I think there's an element of, like you even noted, you know, moving through the events of the day. If a guest can't tell there's a timeline, it's a great timeline. If a guest can tell that there are lags or that things feel weird, or all of a sudden the music cuts out and nobody's talking and everyone's just staring at each other, those are weird things. But if they can't tell that there's a timeline or an order of an events, as in like a choppy manner or even a laggy manner, that's a really good sign. That means that someone is doing some great work behind the scenes to make that happen.
Exactly. Yeah. The awkward pauses and the kind of like, nobody knows what's going on, or, you know, something is missing and like we have to take a little bit more time, you know, something or someone, you know, sometimes like for the key moments, there have been times where like, you know, maybe the bride's not there or like the parents, you know, for the special dances, and there's just like all this awkwardness. So it's nice to have somebody who can kind of take that on themselves to make sure that everything is running smoothly, because I guess at the end of the day, like, you know, everybody's gonna have a good time eating and usually drinking and just hanging out and socializing. But it's nice to have that kind of sense that like, okay, well, I can plan out the rest of my night because I know kind of what the plan is for everybody and hopefully get everybody to stay through the end of the event.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important to note, like, every couple has different goals and intentions for their wedding reception. Like you had mm-hmm. mentioned earlier, sometimes it could be just like quiet background music. And I've worked weddings like that before where it was literally just an iPhone plugged into a speaker. And that's all the couple wanted. And it was fine. But for those who want like the ultimate dance party for them and for their guests, where should they start with their planning?
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is definitely my realm. So I will.
Yeah.
I can't wait to dive into this. This is something that makes me so excited because it's like, you know, planning a wedding. A wedding is basically just a big party with some formality and maybe a little bit of tradition mixed in there. But ultimately, like, everything should come from the party perspective first. So, I mean, ideally, if you're going for like the ultimate dance party, there's so many things you can do. Wow. Let's get into it. So there, you can actually build pre-wedding buzz for the fact that it's going to be an epic dance party that the couple is looking to have. So like, you know, the couple can actually let people know on their website, like, hey, we want you guys to stick around and just, you know, dance the night away. You know, here's how we're going to do that. Like having sandals on the dance floor, you know, or like flats that people can take off like their heeled shoes to be able to dance. So just kind of focusing on the dance floor, you know, you can actually create a smaller size dance floor than a lot of times dance floor rental companies will even suggest, because then you can actually pack the dance floor a little bit tighter, or like at least it doesn't make it feel like it's so awkward, you know, if it's like a huge dance floor and getting those first people out onto the dance floor without having to resort to a lot of the kind of like wedding games or maybe like quote unquote wedding DJ tricks, you know, where it's like, hey, let's get everybody on the dance floor for like a slow dance and then turn off. You know, there are a lot of ways you can do it, but getting all those formalities out of the way before the actual dance party starts is nice. So like maybe not once you kind of start building that momentum from the music and the energy perspective, it's nice to not interrupt that too much or at all, ideally. So like if you're not really that big on tradition, maybe consider having your, you know, dessert cutting or cake cutting, anything like that. That could all be done kind of unannounced from the DJ's perspective. So people are just like, if they're having a good time on the dance floor, maybe don't interrupt that with like, hey, we got to clear the dance floor and do cake and then, you know, bring everybody back out and we'll do like a bouquet and garter toss. A lot of people aren't really into those anymore, which works out to just basically building a bigger dance party. Oh man, I totally skipped the most obvious thing, which is finding a great DJ.
Yeah, I mean, kind of important.
Yeah, that it really does make it, because it's like you want somebody to really represent you as a couple and literally be the face of the party. You know, the person who is kind of hosting that energy and building the right vibes and the, you know, music and everything. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Timing, you know, just like timing of all the events, making sure there's good flow from one element to the next, like letting people know what's going on, encouraging people to, you know, get a little bit more drunk or not, you know, depending on like what's coming up. All of these things can go into making an epic dance party. And then obviously, like, if the couple of honor is dancing, then everybody would love to dance with them. So basically whatever the couple's doing, that's where people want to be. So even getting them to the edge of the dance floor, like even if they're not big dancers, just to like kind of build that energy could help towards a good dance party. Taking one side of the dance floor for having the DJ or the band literally on the edge of the dance floor, that also helps, because then the DJ or the band, let's say, they can really read the energy and pick up on the kind of crowd vibe for the moment and like really build off that. So yeah, that's a very long-winded way of explaining all the different ways you can make the ultimate dance party possible.
Yeah, I think it's super important. And this is something I've shared with clients before, and I probably said it on my channel too. Like, DJs work very hard to build up the right hype on the dance floor. If that means that you thought you were going to go for a bunch of high school throwbacks, but the crowd is super drawn to some more oldies, your DJ is going to read that crowd and kind of shift the song perspective a little bit to make sure your dance floor is and the people on it are really, really enjoying it. And also what you said about cake cutting and bouquet toss and garter toss. I've told clients before, I'm like, because your DJ works so hard to build up that energy and then it's just like a record scratch stop, mm-hmm. everyone clear off the dance floor and then come back. I mean, if you're going to do it, make it worth their while. Don't stop for just a cake cutting and then go back because then the DJ has to work everything back up. But being mindful that a great dance floor doesn't just happen. And that's what I think I'm hearing you say too, is that there's creative ways to make it better, but it doesn't just fall into your lap. It does take some creativity and being aware of the crowd and some of those sorts of things. I'm hearing that correctly, right? Or did I just make all that up?
No, that's absolutely accurate. I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you got it.
One other thing that on my end, I've seen work as a planner was really coaching the wedding party. If the couple tells me they want a big dance party, I make sure that the wedding party knows that is part of their job, that when that dance floor opens, they better be the first people out there.
Yes.
Yeah. Even if they're like looking at me like, you are the craziest weird planner lady. Why are you telling me this? I'm like, this is what they want. They want a dance party. Even if you don't want to be out there all night, part of your role today is supporting them and getting this day to go how they want. So you're going to need to get your booty on the dance floor, at least until you see other people follow you. And then you can run away and stop dancing the rest of the night if that's what you prefer. Yeah. But I really think that's part of the wedding party duties, or like close friends and family if they're not having a wedding party. And that's something I love to talk about with my clients, just if they have that desire that we're like, okay, who are the key people? Who are the friends and family who are pumped about getting on the dance floor? And like, how can we encourage them to really get the party going fast? Because like you said, getting that momentum going is really hard. And once you do, then it's kind of hard to stop it. And that's why it totally makes sense not to stop it for different traditions and to integrate those into the schedule at a point, maybe before you start the dance party, like you said, you know, make it something more of like a dinner show, that while everyone's eating, they're watching you do all these aspects of the party. And then once the dinner is over, then you go to the party time. So
I love that. I mean, yeah, there are so many different elements that go into, I guess, the right kind of vibe that you're building, because it really actually starts from a lot of times from the very first song of the overall wedding. So like when people first arrive, the music they hear will kind of set the tone for the rest of the night. During cocktail hour is a great time to kind of test the bounds of different genres, or like just kind of gauging people's reactions and really being attentive to that energy and you know, working with that. Cause there are times where you can actually make an epic dance party start right at the beginning of when dinner should be, which happens pretty regularly, at least with my couples, just cause like I tell them that that's a thing that is possible. And they're like, yeah, they're all about it, because they don't, you know, it could be kind of an awkward transition between sometimes cocktail hour and dinner. If there are like a lot of formalities, it's a nice way to break the ice early on and kind of build into that idea that there's going to be an epic dance party later. And that's the goal for everybody. So,
okay. I have a question on that one specifically, because I had a DJ do that and it derailed our timeline. So you just said that and I was like, oh, I literally was just flashbacks to this event where you got a dance party going during the cocktail hour, and then the couple couldn't focus on photos because they felt like they were missing out on the party.
Right.
And then had it going at the beginning of dinner, and we couldn't get anybody in line to eat dinner. And we were already running late. And it was just like,
yeah.
So with that in mind, no, and that was my one experience with an early dance party like that. But you say that and I'm like, oh, no. So immediately triggered.
Yeah.
So what do you do to make sure the timeline stays on track? Because I love a good dance party, but I'm also like, I like it at the correct time, but that does sound like fun too. So how do you make sure the timeline stays on track if a dance party happens to get started a little early?
Yeah. So I think actually going into that with whichever vendors need to know about it. So like, let's say in this case, obviously a planner or a day of coordinator and the DJ should be in communication with that prior to the wedding starting. Just like let them know, you know, if there hasn't been kind of communication, but let them know that that is the plan. But obviously being flexible, because, you know, weddings, the timelines tend to switch a lot. So it's nice to have, you know, just like the flexibility to either do it, you know, if the couple's really dead set on it, then we can just kind of build that into the timeline before that ever starts. If it accidentally happens, which there are times where that will happen, we can just kind of direct.
You can't stop the boogie, you know?
Yeah. Yes and no. I'll be like, all right, guys, thanks for dancing. Let's get on to dinner time. You know, whatever. I won't say it like that. I'll be a little bit nicer about it. But yeah, basically, like, you know, limit the amount of kind of songs you're going to do for that. So like, I would just mix a quick, you know, maybe 10 minute dance floor or less.
Okay, I feel better.
Yeah, just because have a definite cutoff, because that can get, you know, people actually, they might get too hot depending on what time of year it is and if it's like an outdoor wedding. So that's also another way that those can go a little bit more smoothly.
Oh, you've assuaged all my concerns. Thank you for walking me through that.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I've had one wedding where we did a grand entrance that led immediately into the Hava Nagila and a big dance party. So that was really cool, but it was built into the timeline. So like we knew we were going to try to encourage a party, get that energy going, get everyone pumped, and then be like, now the buffet, go on and get your food. And that was pretty much how we wrapped it up.
Hey, that works.
Yeah, yeah, it works, you guys. I like it. Now, Drew, what do you suggest for planners like us in to guide our couples in finding a DJ or a band or entertainer that will add the vibe they want? Like, where do you think folks can source the entertainers, the folks that are going to fit their vibe? Because I feel like, you know, these couples come on into this hunting for total different vibes. And it's hard to figure that out, like looking at social media sometimes, but I'm sorry, I'm just rambling. Where should I go?
No, yeah, you're not rambling at all. I think that these are important kind of ideas to figure out, you know, to be able to help everybody, because it's such a large pool of options for every aspect of the wedding, from, you know, the food you choose to all the different vendors that are coming together. So being able to find somebody on the entertainment side of things, again, there are like so many different options. You could go with a DJ if you want that kind of more versatility, you know, somebody who does not take breaks with the music, because musicians, which I also play drums and piano, and I know very well, you need to take breaks every, you know, so often just to be able to rest, because you're physically producing the music. So that's the thing with bands. There are some wedding bands out there that are amazing. There are some pretty amazing wedding DJs specifically that focus on weddings. There are some amazing like hybrid elements that are coming out, especially in 2020 and beyond. So for instance, like having a DJ, but then also incorporating like a live saxophone player during the dance party to really hype it up with that live energy and the overall hilarity of having a sax player. I think is, you know, because then you really build that, because it's like a different thing. So like DJs, you know, it's good to look around on the different wedding websites. Instagram, like you said, is a great, great option nowadays, because every entertainer should be on, at least on social media, just basically like either releasing music that they're creating or mixing, or just like being that kind of face of the, you know, the person that you would want to represent you on the day of. So it's not really important whether you choose a DJ or a band, but there are different elements and energies that each one can bring. But again, one of the popular things coming out nowadays is actually like the hybrid kind of partial live elements. Like some DJs are versatile and play multiple instruments, so they'll actually like play along to their own mixes, you know, or you bring in like a trumpet player, a sax player, a Latin percussionist. If you are doing like a daisy wedding, so like an Indian or Punjabi or Pakistani wedding, having like a dhol player, which is the little drum that sounds super awesome and it's loud, you know, those kind of things are all really fun. So the sky's a limit. It just kind of depends on the venue. So if you're like doing an outdoor wedding, there might be some sound limitations. So obviously drums are not going to be great for that. Also, with the live kind of band aspect, it's going to be a lot costlier just because you are bringing on board multiple different musicians. And then obviously they have to, you know, furnish all of the instruments and everything and set up just the same way a mobile DJ does, you know, bringing in like hundreds of pounds of gear to set up, you know, all the audio equipment, sometimes lighting or other entertainment aspects. So Yeah, Instagram. Some people choose Thumbtack. I don't personally recommend that if possible, but again, it is an option for people looking for kind of like the more affordable alternatives if they have like a lower overall budget. The way you can really focus on what you're booking is like prioritizing your budget accordingly. Like if you really want epic entertainment, set aside a lot more of the budget than a lot of places recommend. So just build it in the same way you'd try to find a good photographer for like a, you know, as a priority.
Yeah. I want to know why you wouldn't recommend something like Thumbtack. I love those sort of bid-based sites, but I do work with an audience who is very budget conscious. So sure. Thumbtack, Wet Brilliant, The Bash, those sort of bid-based systems are perfect for the couples who are trying to make the most out of what they've got. But I can see on the flip side for the vendors that maybe you feel like it's not going to be where you get your biggest payday.
I absolutely understand that. So yeah, I think it's just, it's ultimately like it's your priority. So if you are budgeting or working with like a much smaller budget than let's say like the average wedding cost, which obviously we know it's pretty high, these could be great resources. The main thing though you want to do is you want to read reviews of anybody that you're considering and just like build your own list, you know, make a list on Excel or, you know, just on like a spreadsheet of different people that you like. You can reach out to each one, but it's nice to be able to kind of see. And then if they have pricing available, that helps. But, you know, it just depends on what your priorities are. So like usually I would, the first thing I do to recommend DJs or bands are to ask for referrals from other wedding professionals who work with a lot of different vendors. So they will usually have preferred vendor lists, you know, that they can recommend, let's say a wedding band or a musician or a DJ. So I think that's the first thing that people should go to before they turn to places, even like Wedding Wire or, you know, Thumbtack or The Knot. That's a nice way to start it. If you do work with a wedding planner or you're working with a coordinator or just like even reaching out to, you know, different wedding vendors without even necessarily working together. Just like, I would hope that wedding vendors could help, you know, find you guys the right kind of DJ or band or entertainment experience from that perspective. They could be great resources. I think it just depends on what your priorities are. Does that make sense?
And I think what you're mentioning there is like that personal connection. Someone who has worked with them personally really does kind of shift that game a little bit because Heather, like I know you and your budget platform is so wonderful. And there are tons of merits to Thumbtack. I think for me, the biggest point, well, first of all, I think DJs are the unsung heroes of wedding days.
Oh, for sure.
Like they are, when I have a good DJ, you guys, it is the best thing. It makes for the best events because you just know that the two of you are going to be tag teaming the whole entire night. Okay. You got this. I got this. Okay. We're good. Hey, do you need anything? No, I'm good. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. I think it's the personality. So I like the idea of going to other vendors and asking for referrals or going to your venue and asking for referrals because they've experienced them personally. They know what they're like and they know the sound of their voice because guess what? Your DJ is likely going to be emceeing the event. And he or she is going to be on that microphone the whole night. So you also want to make sure you have that personal element. So yeah, I can see merits to both directions. I just love when a couple finds a DJ whose personality they enjoy. Because if you sign up with someone whose voice is like slightly annoying, you're going to be a lot more annoyed by the end of the night if things don't go according to plan. So I like that personality or that personal element.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that the personal communication beforehand and kind of in that interviewing process is so important. Drew, what do you recommend for pros, other folks who maybe are vendors of, you know, maybe they're DJ, maybe they're not, for kind of making themselves stand out and making sure they're a good fit for a couple that they're in the process of courting as a client?
So for a planner particularly, supporting your clients, basically like asking them kind of what energy they want on the day of, being able to explain kind of the difference between like, let's say a DJ or a live band, and just at least from a basic standpoint of just like, okay, here are my experiences with both and kind of see what vibe is better suited for them. So if they like dancing to a lot of different kinds of genres, often DJs will have a lot more versatility with the kind of wide array of genres and artists than a band would. And that's mainly just a limitation of bands, because again, a lot of bands, it takes a long time to learn a bunch of covers of songs and to do them in a way that sounds good and suits the band's style and like number of people and everything.
Yeah.
So I think generally kind of seeing what the vibe is that they're going for, you know, and then being able to recommend a band or DJ accordingly. Does that make sense? Or did I explain that well? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you did. I just feel like I need to get out and go enjoy some more DJs and bands personally so I can have more experience. I just got to get my husband to take me out on some more dates once we're allowed out of the house again.
Hey. Yeah. I definitely like working with, you know, wedding couples and kind of seeing what their personality is like and then trying to, I guess, matchmake them with the right kind of entertainment hopefully it's a fun process for everybody. So I think, you know, just building that community and building relationships with people that you've seen in person or that you've heard about, I think that's really helpful from the DJ's perspective of what would we love to have as far as like relationships with planners or other vendors like photographers, videographers, even like the catering, you know. It's nice to have those kind of relationships because once you find, you know, people you like working with, I think that goes a long way to the overall of every couple for the wedding. If you're going to have like kind of professionals there on each end of that.
Awesome. Awesome. Now I did want to clarify one thing, because would you consider yourself, obviously you work at weddings, but would you say you're like a wedding DJ or you're just an amazing, I know you're an award-winning turntable DJ, but does that, like you do all sorts of things, a wide variety, way beyond weddings, correct?
That's a great question. I actually focus on weddings. I specialize in weddings.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say about 95% of, you know, the kind of events I do each year are weddings.
Okay, cool.
So rad.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, if someone did do like this big variety of different sort of events, what sort of things do you think as a pro? Let's say I had a couple who's like, oh my God, we saw this amazing DJ at this club and we are obsessed and we got this person to come and be the DJ at our wedding. They don't normally DJ weddings. In that scenario, what sort of extra steps or details do you think should be discussed? Because I've actually had this happen once I've had a couple fly in.
Oh, this no, amazing not that. DJ. I didn't have that.
Yeah, it was very, this was a very, one of the fancier weddings I did. And I was like, okay, but this person like had never been at a wedding as a DJ. And I was like, okay, I feel like I'm going to have to like teach them the flow of the whole day. And I got a little micromanagey. But what would you recommend for folks? Because I don't know if I handled it perfectly, you know, looking back on this situation. What would you advise?
I mean, I think that you were completely right to be concerned, you know, like concerned for your couple, as well as concerned for the overall success of the event. I mean, like it's hard to explain enough about how much a DJ is in charge of. Even having a day of coordinator or a planner, there are just so many elements and formalities and kind of skills that a wedding DJ is uniquely built for, or I guess like has worked on for a long time. So
yeah,
everything from being able to speak in public and address people to being culturally aware and sensitive to the overall kind of reading a crowd and knowing what to say and when to say it, as much as knowing when to play the right song at the right time. Like each of these things have a different effect on top of having to run a timeline and make sure that, you know, every aspect of kind of behind the scenes is prepared and arranged and kind of ready to go, so that no matter what comes up, no matter what happens last minute, no matter, you know, where everybody is, we can make sure that everybody will be in the right place at the right time. So it's pretty stressful from your end, I could imagine, working with somebody who is not familiar with weddings. I would hope that if they are going to take a wedding that they would be very, very eager to learn as much as they can and either like shadow another, like a professional wedding DJ to be able to see what it's actually like, or at least to speak with a bunch and try to get that as much education as possible, because stuff always goes wrong. And, you know, like everybody started out, you know, not doing weddings, basically, like it just in rare circumstances where that's kind of the main, you know, style of event that you get into. Like I started wedding, like literally my first event was actually a wedding at 13. So,
oh, wow.
I had
Are you no kidding? Idea.
No. Yeah. It was a half American, half Japanese wedding. So literally like half of the family and friends came from Japan, and I was just playing, you know, my vinyl collection, my record collection, on turntables. And, you know, I've learned a lot since then. You know, it's been about quite a while that I've been DJing weddings, but for somebody coming from out of that industry, like you're not, there's so many things that happen at a wedding that are unique to a wedding format in particular. So like a DJ at a club works with a different audience. It's, you know, when you're bringing together all these different people of all different backgrounds and cultures or kind of walks of life, it's really nice to have somebody who is able to bridge gaps and, again, just kind of like know the amount of stress that's involved with running a wedding from behind the scenes. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but it's also like you're operating at a pretty high level for that whole time, physically and mentally.
Yeah, I would almost kind of equate it to like, do I manage and coordinate events? Yes, but if someone asked me to manage or coordinate a fashion show, I would be like, no. I specifically coordinate wedding. That's like it's a hyper specific niche, but that doesn't mean I can do any event coordination. This is just my only, this is what I stick to. This is what I know. And yeah. So Heather, you said the club DJ thing, and inside I was just like, no, not that club DJs aren't great, but you also probably wouldn't want someone who runs fashion shows for a living to run your wedding. Cause there's just nuances in what we do. And I think we've all seen that. It's just different. And if you don't know it, you figure it out one way or another.
Yeah. The level of finesse was, I will say, in this situation was not there, and ended up being that I had to recruit a member of the wedding party to be the MC, like on the fly, because this DJ was like, oh, I didn't think I had to make announcements. I'm just mixing the music. And I was like, oh boy. Okay. We're going to have to rework this plan. This is a little frightening.
Yeah. And just to kind of jump back on the other idea that you guys were asking about earlier about thumbtack. So, so I guess I wanted to clarify a little bit. So a lot of these platforms that are kind of like more geared towards, again, just overall, just like lower budgets or whatever, a lot of DJs that are getting into the wedding space will start at a certain pricing because, again, they want to be able to build the chops and build their experience working with different kinds of couples and different weddings in general, different venues. Like, so these platforms are a great place for a lot of DJs who are starting out, whether they are focusing just on weddings or they're starting out in some other event space or like the club space and building in, you know, weddings into their own experience. So that's, I guess, what I wanted to clarify with the thumbtack thing. It's, I love those sites for what they are, but that's the kind of caveat that I have, is that anybody that you book off those sites, it's good to read the reviews because you want to see, you know, how much experience they have with specifically weddings. So like they can be great resources, and a lot of times there are some amazing, you know, DJs and musicians on those, but it's good to interview any of the potential people you want to work with, because again, it's such a big part of the day. And, you know, even like reaching out to the coordinator or the planner and being like, hey, this is a person I'm thinking about. Do you mind like helping decide if this is the right fit? You know, getting the planner involved in that process could also help with kind of vetting options.
Yeah. So, the DJ and the officiant for me are two critical roles, because they are so like, they face the guests in such a direct way that if you get someone in those roles who it's not a good fit and it's not a good vibe, it really throws the entire day for a loop.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have some officiant stories. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm not, you know, we'll, If you guys want to touch upon those, we can, but we can keep going. That's fine.
Well, I mean, now I'm a little curious. So
yeah, I'm like, okay,
the best one.
Yeah, give us your best one.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there have been many amazing officiants, and then there are occasionally those who use it as kind of like a center stage for comedy. So one of the couples. Boy. Oh yeah, it was like basically like almost every sentence that was written out to read for the couple and for the guests was a joke of some kind, but they were like not the hilarious kind of jokes. They were like kind of cringy, borderline, and also definitely inappropriate. Like,
oh no.
Oh, it was, I'm just sitting, you know, in the background. I can't do anything because I'm the one responsible for miking the officiant. So just listening to it all.
So basically you're to blame.
Yeah. So I can't do anything about it because I didn't recommend them. But yeah, you know, just like most officiants are fine. That one was just, it was at a beautiful venue too. It was just so out of sync with who the couple was, I think. And that, I don't know if they were aware that that was going to be what transpired, but I think, yeah, that it was awkward to say the least.
Oh boy, that is disappointing to hear that someone had that experience. And I think, you know, you gotta ask for some examples of people's work is always a good option to do too, especially like I work with budget-minded folks. So sure. I'm like, you're working on this budget. You are going to want to do a little extra research and ask for some examples and things. Yes. Otherwise, you know, buyer beware might not go well. Well, I'm sure there are equally awkward DJ stories, you know, where the lineup of songs is just packed with, you know, the conga line followed by YMCA, followed by the, what's the one where you do the hands? I'm thinking back to middle school and I can't. Hey, Macarena, that one. Yeah. I was literally having to do the motions to remember. So it's like you get some DJs who come in and that's their strong game is just leading with those hits. How do you advise people to pick the right music to pair well with the environment and style they want for their event? And, you know, maybe it is that lineup. So if I offended you, I'm sorry. Those could be very fun songs. But Drew, do you have any tips for maybe a more upbeat party jam sort of style?
Absolutely. So that's, you know, it's kind of like the last few years we've seen a almost like a renaissance from the wedding DJ's perspective. It's taken a lot of wedding DJs almost decades to catch up to the modern day kind of expectations and vibe that a lot of couples are going for, which is a lot less of the traditional, maybe like 90s and 2000s feel of a wedding where you do have a lot of the kind of top 100 most played wedding songs, you know, on the roster. There's so much great music out there nowadays that basically like the cutting edge DJs, if you're able to find one, hold on to that gem, because these are the people that are doing a lot of music discovery and they're listening to music as it pertains to like, oh man, I think audiences will really resonate with this, or like a particular couple and kind of their personality. This is a great song that I think will reflect that kind of mood. So finding music nowadays has been more fun for a lot of DJs and been able to restore that kind of faith in the next generation of wedding DJs, which is extremely, you know, kind of like deep in the music discovery world, whether it's new or old music, and being able to curate an entire night based on the couple's music tastes, what their general expectations are. Sometimes every couple wants like a different kind of approach. Some of them are just like, yeah, just play whatever, you know, we're open to it. Sometimes people definitely don't like those, I guess more, I hate to say cliche, but generally cliche like wedding songs, like, you know, Electric Slide or, you know, Black Eyed Peas or whatever, you know, just like there's a lot of great music out there and every couple has a different music taste. But I think the best DJs are the ones that are going to be almost like a tastemaker, somebody that you bring in that's like collaborating with the couple on like, okay, these are some ideas that I have that I think would go great. You just let me know what you think, and like kind of that building that feedback. It also helps to build rapport, you know, with a DJ. You end up becoming a friend with a lot of, you know, the couples you work with when you have the music as like every song should count, you know, and it's not just playing a general playlist. It's like, knowing when the right song is going to like get some feedback from the audience. And you can even throw in some surprises in there, both for the couple and like, I mean, good surprises, like stuff that, you know, you think is going to go with like the whole energy, or songs that, you know, the parents are going to like, because maybe they mentioned them during your interview, or, you know, stuff like that. You want to try to impress every guest, ideally, from the DJ's perspective. That's the goal, is to like have everybody compliment the couple endlessly on like how much fun the night was. And a lot of times music is that the means in which they can kind of let loose. And so I think music, there's so much great stuff, everything from, you know, hip hop to electronic to indie to rock to house, you know, getting out into the world music styles. There's so much amazing music out there. So I think from that perspective, it's nice to find a DJ who is collaborative and also that you get along with, and you just know they're going to be able to take care of that for you, or like can help guide you on if you're like really stoked about building your own playlist or building your own wedding night soundtrack, so to speak. It's nice to when you find those kind of people to connect with.
Well, I think as planners, we totally know the value of a detailed timeline. Like they make us salivate and believe in the flow of the event is so, so key. So what tips can you share with regard to the timeline for the reception that will help kind of create that optimal environment for fun? I know we touched on some of these a little bit earlier, but like lay them on us.
Yeah. So nowadays everybody has so many options as to what they want to do for their own kind of wedding parties. Like, you know, it used to be kind of like frowned upon if people skip certain traditions, but now more than ever, people want to personalize what they know to be like the usually the biggest party of their lives, especially one that they're putting on. So it's so cool when so many of the couples that I work with, for instance, like they'll ditch entire, I guess, traditions, so to speak, or kind of reformat the traditions for the modern day or just for them as a couple. You know, for instance, like having champagne at the ceremony, or you know, so like when everybody's walking in to get seated or to hang out and start kind of bonding, they're already, you know, starting the party, so to speak. You know, that kind of element is cool just for during the ceremony. Some people will literally like ride in, you know, on an animal or in a car or on a motorcycle or something crazy like that. You know, it, like you can do anything you want. It's a party, and anything that you think is something that reflects your personality, I would say go for it. From the perspective of a DJ and an MC and also a planner, it's like, it's nice to have really creative couples who want to build out a timeline that is unique to their own situation, and then just, you know, focus on keeping the party flow going. So ceremonies, you know, there are a lot of ways to the ceremony, particularly getting into the reception. Some people will do a cocktail hour, and we'll, you know, so basically like either a second one if they started drinking during the ceremony, or, you know, just like a more extended cocktail hour where the couple will actually go out, usually take photos during cocktail hour. So having a little bit longer cocktail hour could give time for the couple to interact, or they'll just ditch a lot of the ideas of having photos during cocktail hour, and they'll actually just like hang out at cocktail hour with their guests. So incorporating more time with the guests, I think, is a really big trend that I've been seeing that's just, you know, increasing more and more as we continue on in the space. And, you know, ditching some formalities that you might think are maybe tacky or cringy or whatever, you know, everybody has a different perspective on it. But like elements like, you know, having your grand entrance done away with completely and just coming in as a couple, and, you know, not having like the family come in first and then the bridal party or the wedding party, and just coming in as a couple, or not even announcing them to come in. They just like kind of walk in as like a surprise to everybody. These are ways you can kind of undo the, I guess, the more kind of spotlight on you approach that, because again, everybody's has a different idea of like what they want on their wedding day. And I think just keeping creative with like, you can do anything you want. You can combine songs for the first dance. So you can like start with a slow one and then do a more upbeat one to surprise people with, or you can ditch doing any of the parent dances or kind of like the VIP dances, as what I like to call them.
Yeah.
You know, it just like making the timeline specifically what you want to do, and try to minimize the amount of pressure that your family or friends or even sometimes the vendors can put on you for your own party. And then, you know, hopefully finding the right vendors that will work with whatever you're going to do, you know, whether it's like taking out a formality here or there, adding in some fun ideas, brainstorming some crazy ideas and seeing, you know, what we can do to make them come to reality. There are just so many options you can do now. Like I had a couple last year, this amazing couple, they had a nighttime ceremony. So basically people showed up during the afternoon to basically start partying during it was like a cocktail hour. And then we had a couple formalities, a couple introductions, and then we moved right into dinner. And then everybody went up to a different location for the ceremony. And it was at night during a new moon. And they had the whole thing lit up. And it looks like a movie. It was just so beautiful. Wow. And just like a nighttime ceremony, you know, and then coming back down and having the dance parties and just kind of more of the formalities later on in the evening. So anything is possible. And I think that's the biggest takeaway that I would love for people to have is do whatever you want and only, you know, kind of come from the heart with everything you're thinking about from a party perspective. Like anything you want or don't want, it's up to you.
Hmm. I like that. And I think that sounds beautiful, that nighttime wedding. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's too.
Yeah.
Well, I think that guidance of coming from the heart is so key. And I think we should touch upon the fact that COVID-19 stuff's been happening this year. I think it's shaking couples and I would say vendors to rethink a lot of these things because we've had to get creative and come up with solutions because this hit us right in the face. And so making those adjustments now, I'm hoping opens the door where couples can see a lot more flexibility in their options if they haven't already, and that they know they can be creative. They can ditch traditions they don't like. They can add in new things. They can flip-flop the order of events, whatever feels right for them, because it really is their day and they can choose to celebrate it however they prefer, you know? We're just here to support them in achieving that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I like that idea of kind of like trimming around, adjusting, or turning up on its head some of those traditional timeline ideas. And I love the idea of the ceremony smack dab in the middle of the day. Now I'm like, okay, I need a couple that wants to do that. Heather, we got to find a couple that wants to do that because that sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. We got to find them.
Now, Drew, I have a very important question.
Sure.
And I hope you heard the gravity in my voice.
I'm ready
right
for
now.
It.
What are the single best and single worst wedding songs? You got to tell us. What's the best one ever and what's the worst one ever?
Oh, wow.
I know. I told you it was serious. I tried to warn you.
That is a serious question. The best wedding song ever and the worst wedding song ever. Well, okay. I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm going to say the ultimate worst song ever, in my opinion. And again, there are a lot to choose from. It's kind of weird. I wrote a blog a while ago that was like about the top 250 wedding songs to leave out completely. Ooh. Out of your wedding.
Yeah.
So coming from that list, oh my gosh, I would probably say, oh my gosh. There's so many. I don't want to like alienate myself from future career goals, but at the same time, oh my gosh. Yep. I've never had so much pressure on me to decide musically.
So much. Well, I think it's also super important to note, like, if anyone who's listening to this is not a professional in the field, you guys, we hear these songs all the time. All the time. So it's okay to reach a point where you stop liking some of them because you hear them all the time.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is like music is so subjective and my own tastes are generally in line with, you know, certain people, but as like a majority of weddings go, it's sometimes at opposition. So I would probably say the Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling, is the one song that I just can't stand. But
man, that's funny to me.
Cha Cha Slide is right up there too.
Oh
yeah.
All right.
So I'm gonna just say those are the top two that I don't like.
Drew, you are hitting below the belt. It's okay. I was married in 2009 when that song came out, and it is distinctively reminds me of my wedding, but it is at every wedding. So I do understand the sentiment. But
I apologize.
Okay. I'll still be friends with you, feelings. But I'm saying I feel that one. I feel that one because I do like me the Black Eyed Peas.
Hey, don't get me wrong. They have some great songs, just not that one.
Not that one. You're over it.
For me, anyway. just for me.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's end on a positive note. What do you think is your favorite wedding song?
Man, one of my favorite wedding songs of all time is Stevie Wonder, and it is Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Yes.
I think that song is just a banger always. It just...
What a banger.
It, every time. You can't go wrong because Stevie Wonder can do no wrong. And then, you know, beyond that, there are a lot of great songs, but that one is always a staple that has never been awkward, for at least for my dance floors, whether I open them with that or I just kind of squeeze it in there for just like a chorus or something. I think I'll just go with that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. You're right. Every time that comes on, I'm like, oh, this is refreshing. I also forgot how much I love this song.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one to get that in. Because it's universal. Just like so much of the Motown era of music in general and just soul. There's so many good artists from back in the day. And like I love a lot of artists from the 60s and 70s into the 80s now and obviously like modern day stuff. But you can't go wrong with Stevie Wonder.
Do you want to sing a few notes for us? I'm kidding.
Jamie, wow, we're really grueling him today. Drew.
Yeah. Oh, Drew, you're my friend.
All good. I'll play you guys a piano piece sometime and I'll try to sing it, but it's not going to go well. I'm just going to...
He's like, wow, this podcast is weird.
Oh, he's like, I was not ready. Drew, you're a champ. Thanks for hanging in there.
Honestly,
much fun.
Yeah, I love the curveball questions. Keep throwing them my way. I'm down.
Well, we don't want to, you know, have things end poorly here. I think we ended on a high note, and that's what we wanted. And, you know, it's okay. Even the Black Eyed Peas fan can still be friends with you. There is no hard feelings here. We are so glad you were part of this. And, you know, we can't wait for the next time we can get on the dance floor while you're up there spinning it.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I had a blast, you know, and I'm glad that I hope I could be of service to some people. And, you know, if anybody has any questions, they can reach out to me. I'm happy to help anybody with wedding planning or just, I don't know, music ideas, anything that has to do with like the party elements. I'm all about it. So
you're such a gem.
Yeah. Where can folks find you, Drew? We just want to make sure that they don't get lost on the internet finding, you know, searching for you.
Sure thing. Yeah. So, my website is songstruckdj.com. So Songstruck, I came up with a name because I thought it was clever at the time. It's just like, you know, when music hits you and it sends those like chills down your spine.
Aww.
So that's the easiest way to remember it. I know it's cheesy, whatever. So songstruckdj.com. And then also on Instagram at songstruckdj. So SONGSTRUCK. And I'll be there.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, and we'll be seeing you on the dance floor soon.
Thanks a lot. Can't wait.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.
All right, nice. We did it. I knew you were going to say that song. I was like, he's going to say this Black Eyed Peas song.
Gosh. Oh,
but it was 2009. It was the peak of that song, you guys.
I understand. And no, that, don't get me wrong. That song was a banger.
It was a banger. It's played out, though. Played out.
Exactly. And like, I hope that everything went well with the... I hope I didn't answer the questions too, like...
You did great. No, you did a wonderful job. Honestly, this was a whole lot of fun. And thanks for being so open and sharing that. I know I threw that curveball at the end, but I was like, this is going to be good. I actually really want to know the answer to this.